Good morning, everyone. In case you don't know, my name is Charlie Alcorn, and I'm going to be bringing you the message this morning. First of all, I have to say the only way that I can stand up here and do this is I believe in Scripture. In Matthew 10, verse 20, says that when I get in this position, that really I don't even have to worry about what to say because the Holy Spirit will speak through me. And I believe that with all my heart because I've seen it time after time. So if you'll just give me a little bit of your time this morning, we're going to hear from God. I'm sure of it. I knew for a couple of months or so that I was going to be speaking today. And so one night as I was going to bed, I asked God what he's going to talk about this morning. And I wouldn't say a weird thing, but something that don't usually happen. When I asked God what we were going to speak about, before my head hit the pillow, I heard Ephesians chapter 4. And I thought, wow, don't I even get any input on this decision, God? I had a couple of things I thought was pretty good. He said, no, this is it. And I struggled with this for quite a while, a couple of weeks, to get a hold of this. But even 2 days ago, I wanted to change it. But that's not what God says. So, as I bring you to Ephesians chapter 4, as I got to reading this and looking in this, the first three chapters of Ephesians basically is jam-packed with what God's done for us and what we are and who we are in Christ. So that's important to remember as we come into chapter 4. He changes up totally, and starts giving us things to do, things that we need to do in our daily Christian life. So I'm going to start reading in chapter 4 with verse 1. I don't know how far we'll get. It's all up to the Holy Spirit and time. So we'll see how far we get. But as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Those are traits that we need in our life. Because there's a lot of different things with different people, even in this church. And that's who this is talking about, is the body of Christ. There's going to be a certain amount of friction. There's going to be a certain amount of disagreement. And the bigger the church, the more of it there is. So Paul's telling us we need these things even to get along with our Christian brothers and sisters. We're all different. Now, if I can ask my brother Willie Cooper to come up here for a second, I'll kind of show you some of the differences that we do have. Young man. Oh, thank you, brother. Young man. Not so young. Sorry. He likes sports.
Oh, yeah.
Love sports?
Yep.
I hate it. Especially football. Colts are terrible. You like video games?
Oh, yeah.
Hate them. Hate them. Wish they'd just never do, just totally do away with them. Do you love Jesus? So do I. We have something in common. Awesome. Thank you. And all the differences that we have that we don't agree with, the more common thing that we do have together is bigger. And it's what it says here, that if I be completely humble with him liking football, with I be patient with his video games, the one thing that we have is we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's my little brother. Whether we agree on everything or not. And we could go around this whole room and find out that a lot of us don't agree on everything. Even if I could pick on my wife, we just celebrated 37 years of marriage. And we disagree a lot. One thing that we agree on is that we don't agree on a lot of things. But if I'm completely humble, if I'm patient, if I bear with her in love, this works for your marriage. Not only your Christian life, it works in your marriage. It works as being a parent. It works as being a child. It works in everything. Being totally, patiently humble. The King James has it: long, lowliness, gentleness, and long suffering. I like that word, long suffering, patience. Something I have to work on. Again, my marriage. We have a restored marriage. We were divorced once because I lived in darkness. In that darkness, as you know, if you've ever wandered around your house in the dark, sometimes you run into the wall. Sometimes you stub your toe. In that darkness, I stumbled with drug addiction. Alcoholism. I wanted everything that the world had to offer me. And the bad thing is that I got it, and it's no good. God restored my marriage. And it takes these things to make it today. Humble yourself. Patience, gentleness, bearing with one another in love. It's hard to do. There's some people, even in this church, that push me to the boundaries on that. Sometimes even over the boundary. And I fail. But I have to keep reprogramming myself. I have to renew my mind. I have to tell myself that I'm a Christian and God loves me. He wants what's best for us if we're humble, gentle, patient. It's a tough one. I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling that you have received. Do you realize that calling that we have? Like I said in the first three chapters of Ephesians, I'll just pull up some highlights. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're called into heaven. We're heavenly people. We're God's children. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from you. This is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do the work which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you would look at Hebrews chapter 1 through 5 through 14, it talks about how the angels were a little higher than the angels. Isn't that something? We can command angels. Amazing. I never thought about commanding an angel to do anything, but it says there in Hebrews that they're spiritual beings that are made to serve God and man. We have a pretty high calling on our life. Don't you think? So make every effort to keep the unity as we were called. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. If you'll notice there, it says, make every effort to keep. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that we're supposed to do it. God's already done it. It's just up to us to recognize it and fulfill it. Keep the unity of peace. You're all half quiet this morning. Everybody with me? Oh, yeah, good. I was getting worried. I thought you'd fallen asleep on me. Jerry Choir. I saw you. No. Okay, we'll keep moving on here. After 2 and 3, that's when it starts getting good. In 4, verse 4, it says, there is one body, one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You all? No, I'd say that. One. There's one God, Jesus Christ. It don't matter if you're a Baptist, you're a Nazarene, you're Catholic, no matter what it is that you are, if you look and search for Jesus Christ, for God, you're going to find him. No matter what. Seek and you will find. Pretty good stuff, isn't it? But each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed us. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. That's a quotation from Psalm 68, verse 18. The only weird part about it was, when I look back at Psalms 68:18, it said, when he ascended on high, he took many captives, and he received gifts from people. I don't know what was going on there with Paul, if through the Holy Spirit he changed gifts instead of God getting gifts. He gave those gifts, and he may have. I don't know. I think it was just because it was from an earlier translation that Paul said this. But he does give us gifts. Again, I said, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly region? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe. He never stopped giving gifts to people. We all should have spiritual gifts, whether we recognize those gifts or not. We have them. They're different, but each one of us has one. And you know what? You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. It was through God's grace. It's through God's grace that I stand up here today. I'm about as far from a preacher or a teacher than you could possibly get. But God gave me that gift through His grace. We can read that there. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why He says, when He ascended on high, He took many captives and He gave gifts. And so here it is in 11. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelism, pastors and teachers. They say that should all be working within a church. It's actually called a fivefold ministry. I think it's only four because if you would look in the Greek, the pastor teacher is the same office with two separate identities within one office. Pastor teacher. We have to have those. A lot of times people think of the church as a pyramid with the pastor at the top. No. Some think of it as a bus, and the pastor is the bus driver, and we're all happily just riding around on the bus. No, that ain't it either. It's one body. One. Unity. That's what this whole chapter is about, the unity of the church. Whether I don't like video games or not. Or Colts games. It's the body. One body in Jesus Christ. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. Let's go back to 12. And this is why we have these. To equip His people for the works of service, so the body of the Christ may be built up until we reach all unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, obtaining the whole measure of fullness of God. Are you missing out on what all God has for you? Maybe because you don't want to do a certain thing, or maybe even you just don't know. Don't you want the fullness of God working in your life? I know I do. Until we reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, obtaining the whole measure of the fullness of God. A lot of us mature differently than others. There may be a Christian of 20 years that hasn't matured as much as somebody that's, say, 2 years. That's up to you. That's your part of it. And we don't mature in ourselves. What it said there, we mature in Jesus Christ. Wow. Why? It tells us in 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemes. And they're out there. They're out there. They're already on the scene. And if we're not strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and in what our Bibles tells us, they might get you. Be very careful. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemes. But instead, speak the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head. That's Jesus Christ. Are you walking the walk worthy? From Him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament and grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each of us have a part in the body of Christ. And it would be the same as if I was talking about my physical body. My ear doesn't have to do all the work because I have eyes. My hand doesn't have to do it all because I have a foot. Are you in the body of Christ? Do you have a gift? Are you using it? Tough crowd today. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in their fertility of their thinking. They are darkened in the understanding and separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. I've had a hardened heart before. It's hard to get rid of. Even my mother, when she would punish me, she quit whooping me because I wouldn't cry no more. And I didn't love anything, including myself, because I was unlovable. Now I cry at the drop of a hat, and I love it. Because usually when it happens, the Spirit of God's moving over me. So I just consider myself a big crybaby now. And I love it. Because of all the hate gone. The love come in. When I first became a Christian, I prayed and prayed. I asked Jesus Christ to put love in my heart. Until I listened and He said, I did. You have my Spirit. It's living in you. Is He living in you? Having lost all sensitivity, there I got it out. They have given themselves over to sensually such as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they're all full of greed. Greed's a big problem in the church, as it is anywhere, because it'll gobble you up. It'll take your soul. Don't be greedy with your stuff, because we ain't going to have it much longer anyway. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off old self, which is being corrupted and by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on this new self, created to be like God in truth and righteousness. A big thing for me in my life is I have to get up every morning. I think about the things I did wrong. I think about the mistakes that I made. But His grace is made new every morning. And I say that I'm sorry, and I want to try to do better today, because I love Jesus Christ. Because He pulled me out of that darkness and into the glorious light. Beautiful. What a light. I'm not stubbing my toes anymore. I'm not banging my head. Now, don't get me wrong, I have suffered some losses. I've suffered some things. But I still have that peace of God in my life because I know that He loves me and He's coming back for me. It tells me that in John. Don't let your hearts be troubled. John 14:1. Believe in me. I go to prepare a place for you, that where He is, we will be also. We're called to a heavenly realm. We're going to be heavenly people. Isn't that great? I got one amen anyway. Come on, somebody say amen this morning. Come on. Yeehaw. Yes. But to do that, we have to be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I don't know how many times I've done that I've gave the devil an opportunity to try to get back into my life. Until I found something that kind of worked for me. I can tell Satan that I'm a Christian. And I say it out loud. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. You have no part in my life. Flee. It works. When's the last time you said, I'm a Christian? If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to hear you say it now. Think the devil's going to believe that? That's kind of weak. No, you're good. Anyone who has been stealing must not steal any longer, but must work. Oh, boy. That's a thing of the past, isn't it? Doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. I've made that transaction before. Well, had nothing. We came home one day, our house had burnt to the ground. Only thing we had was the clothes on our back. God restored that. He gave us back everything that Satan ever took. He gave it back to me. I love him for it. I love him. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Messed that one up before too. But only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen and not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander. He's telling us get rid of those things. They don't belong in your life. It's not from God. Along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another. That's what Jesus Christ wants in our life. As a church, as His body. As husbands, as wives, children, employers. Is he asking too much from us? He's put that calling upon your life. In John chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus himself tells us, it's better that I go. Because if he didn't go, the helper, the counselor, the advocate, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have come. Hebrews 13:5 says he didn't leave us as orphans. He left us as spirit. That's a powerful thing. We were powerful people. James 13:6 says, when believing people pray, powerful things happen. Powerful things happen for those who believe. And I believe. I believe your salvation's here today. I believe your healing's here today. Do you want it? Are you getting the fullness of Christ? Do you want it? He's coming back for us. Are you ready? I hope. I pray. One other thing that we talked about okay. He gave gifts to apostles, of prophets, evangelism, pastors, teachers. As our pastor is on the sabbatical, We don't need to lift him up where he'll be chopped down. But we need to be praying. We need to be praying for him. And I want you to do that today. He needs our prayers. He's got a tough job. He's got a tough job. But why? In order, okay, Christ. So the body of the Christ may be built up until we all reach unity. Let's pray today. You guys come up and come on. Come pray. I ask the church. I beg the church, come and pray for your pastor. Gather together. Pray for him. If you need healing today, it's right there. It's right here. Come.